Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Maybe when you hear about robotics and artificial intelligence, you don't think of the rolling hills and pastures of Ontario, but maybe you should. Farmers in this province are among the early adopters and innovators in a technological shift they expect to be inevitable and widespread. With us to explain, in Orangeville, Ontario, Mary Ruth McDonald. She's professor and research program director at the University of Guelph. And here in our studio, Bill Vandenhoever. He is co-founder of Bold Robotics, based in Vineland, Ontario. And Chuck Bersich. He is president of Haggerty Ag Robotics, based in Bothwell, in Chatham-Kent, Ontario. And it's great to have you two here in our studio. Mary Ruth, thanks for being there on the line from the University of Guelph for us. And Chuck, to you first. I guess I just wanted to find out what drew you, what was that connection that drew you from your line of work to farming, where you wouldn't necessarily associate robotics?
Well, I think, you know, as farmers in the area, I've always liked technology. I've always liked robotics. You know, I think I always wanted my own R2-D2 or C-3PO kind of thing. And
Star Wars reference for those who don't remember.
Yeah, 100%. And so you know, that's what I grew up with. And then, you know, my brother and I have always tried to introduce technology into our farming operation as a way to try to improve things year after year. And so we have a lot of that technology in our tractors and stuff.
Where's your farm?
It's just outside of Bothwell, okay. down in Lambton County. We have a very traditional corn and soybean operation. And when we, you know, when we look at our equipment, I think our very first auto steer system in the tractor, once we made two or three rounds in the field with the tractor driving itself, we kind of thought, why do we have to be in this cab? And that was probably close to 20 years ago when that first inkling got into my head.
And the first robots showed up when?
In 2020.
So you waited a little while before introducing.
We had to wait a while till there were some that were ready to be used.
Okay. Mary Ruth, let me get to you next. You're primarily working with vegetables. Have I got that right?
That's right. Onions and carrots especially.
Okay. And where's your place?
Well, the research station is right in the Holland Marsh, just beside Highway 400.
And what kind of robotic innovations have you introduced to your operations?
Well, we started out with drones to try to do crop scouting and did a 3-year trial on that. Didn't work out as well as we'd hoped, but it taught us a lot. And then with the involvement with Chuck and the introduction of these autonomous robots, it seemed like it would solve a number of problems, especially weed control in the area is a real challenge, herbicide-resistant weeds, and just the cost of labor to do hand weeding.
Gotcha.
So it kind of all came together that way.
Now, let me ask our director, Sheldon Osmond, have we got a still picture here of the farm droid? Can we bring that up right now? A solar-powered, okay, I don't even know how to describe this, but so, Mary Ruth, how about for those who are listening on podcast, do you want to describe what we're looking at here?
Well, it's a big solar panel on top. That's the first thing that you see. And below that, wheels, and right now we're looking at a cultivator. So it's like you took a small piece of farm equipment and put a big solar panel on top of it.
And what does it do?
It can seed when it's got a seeder attached, and after it's finished seeding, it goes through the field and it cultivates to control the weeds. The really cool thing about seeding is that it geolocates or remembers exactly where every seed is that it puts in the ground.
Wow. You want to tell me how much that thing cost?
Chuck is the expert on
okay,
that.
Okay, Chuck, I'm going to you then. How much does that thing cost?
About $130,000.
I was going to say, it doesn't look cheap.
Yeah. Relative to farm equipment, it's actually not too bad.
Because other stuff costs a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, Bill, let's get you in here as well. Engineering background?
Yep.
Okay. Greenhouse spaces, primarily your line of work?
It is now. In the past, I was more in heavy industry. I gained a lot of experience in steel mill automation, lumber mills. And did that for about 11 years. And that's where I started working with my business partner, Willem. And it was a long commute, so we had a lot of time to talk. And that's kind of where Bold was born. We were looking for opportunities to use our expertise and in an industry that, there was a lot of opportunity.
So tell us where the connection between robotics and farming came into play for you.
There's a lot of manual labor, a lot of opportunity, and there has been a lot of robotics in certain greenhouse sectors, like specifically the vegetables. But in the flood and like the potted plants, cut flowers, there wasn't as much robotics actually in there. So it's just a good opportunity to us to come up with new technology for those spaces. And
who are your customers typically?
Potted plant growers. So a lot of them are in the Niagara area. So there's a lot of greenhouses.
And what are they using robotics for?
Picking plants off tables, grading, sorting, just spacing. The ones that we do are more on the packaging side, so after the greenhouse, so before it gets into the box. So we've done a bunch of automation for the packing side. Up before we started, there was nothing. It was all manually done. So we're finding our way in the industry. It's been about 6.5 years, and there's still a lot to do, a lot to discover, and as we go.
Let me pursue that with you, Chuck, because I'm trying to imagine the conversation you are having with sort of more traditional farmers who never thought that robotics would be an option for them, and you introduce it to them. Mm-hmm. What kind of reaction are you getting?
I think for 3 or 4 years ago, the reaction was, sometimes people would see the robot and they would just walk past it because they didn't know what it was. And some farmers will look at the robot and they will say, it's too small, it's too big, it's too different. Really what we're after with farmers when we're having a conversation is we're trying to find ones who look at the machine and who are actually thinking about how could I incorporate that into my farming operation. A lot of times it takes a person to really think about every task they're doing and breaking that task down into very small little pieces and saying, how do we automate that single piece, which could be, removing weeds, it could be planting, it could be something like that. And the farmer has to be willing to have that conversation.
So let me ask Mary Ruth about that. You two, we've already established, sort of collaborated here on a big six-figure piece of equipment that you're using. How did that get started? Who approached whom and who made the sale and that kind of thing?
I'm part of an agrobotics working group, and Chuck and Omafra weed specialist, Kirsten Obeid, were the ones that talked to me about starting to test the agricultural robots in our marsh. And even prior to that, actually, John Kelly, who's now Deputy Minister of Agriculture, got me in touch with Tarek, who is the developer of another ag robot, the GOAT. So I was just talking about the vegetable production end with him. And then it was really great when we actually had these other robots on the ground that we could start working with. And of course, I'm an academic, so we're doing the research, counting the hours. This year, we're going to be comparing the tractor-driven activities to the robot right beside it in the field for the whole summer.
Now, was it a tough sale to get you to sort of, understand that, robotics can play a role in your farm and that you ought to give it a shot?
Not at all. It was really interesting. As with anything in research, there's always learning curve, some frustrations with the technology, but it looked really interesting and it looked like it had so many applications for the growers that I work with in the Holland Marsh.
And how well is it working?
Good. The two that we looked at last year, some setup in the spring, but that happens with any tractor, any equipment. And then they worked amazingly smoothly during the summer. And the technicians who work with me kept coming up with great ideas on how to make them work even better. So it was a lot of fun. It was really interesting to see.
Chuck is very happy to hear that. Chuck, while you have the floor here, I gather you are testing robots from around the world. There are other countries who've got their wares here. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing that in the province of Ontario, testing here?
I think we have shown to other countries or other developers, whether they're from Canada, the U.S., around the world, is that Ontario is a very unique place. Within a two-hour drive of Toronto, basically, there's almost every crop under the sun. Everything from cauliflowers to celery to lettuce, carrots, onions, sweet corn. You can see farmers who grow corn and soybeans just like they do in the Midwestern United States. You can see greenhouses. You can see all that kind of agriculture.
So we got it all here.
We have it all. And on top of that, we also have an excellent research infrastructure, like university network, that's very interested in the space, in agriculture as well as technology. And Ontario has a manufacturing background through the automotive sector. And a lot of the robotic technology, when you think about it, directly translates from that sector to field robots.
Okay, well, I think we got some more video here. Sheldon, you want to bring this up here? This is, and you can help me understand what this is, again, for people listening and won't see this video. Rome, how do you describe this? Rome, IOHCT?
That's correct.
What does all that mean?
So about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we worked with an engineering firm, a company out of Oshawa, Ontario, and they had built a prototype robot. And so we had them develop this model of the Romeo. So this is a tracked robot. It's about the size of a lawnmower. It can run up to 8 kilometers an hour, which is fairly unique for robots in this space. And then it's a multi-purpose electric tractor.
Okay, you called it Romeo, and I just want to let people know, it's R-O-A-M.
Yep, Rome, I-O. I say it Romeo, but I mean, that's Rome, I-O is probably more correct.
And what does the I-O stand for?
Input, output.
Oh, okay, yep. There we go.
And then the
HCT?
And then the HCT that's on the end is Haggerty Creek, is our company.
That's your company,
because we help them develop this.
So I think a lot of people watching right now will never have seen that before.
That's
that
correct.
Thing is doing the job that normally a lot of people have to do.
That's right.
And the advantage of this is what?
So the advantage is that, you know, I haven't met a farmer yet who has too many employees. Generally, farmers are always looking for more employees. And so what we're trying to do with the robotics is say, how do I take my existing staff and add more value? How can I have them doing something more valuable than, let's say, riding in an ATV and spreading clover seed on a cold day on a wheat field.
Which a machine couldn't do.
Which a machine can definitely do.
Hmm. So you figured that out.
Well, we hope so.
You think so? How much is that thing?
That machine was approximately $80,000.
So even more reasonably priced than the other thing we
saw.
That's
correct.
Okay. Yep. Is there, now when you're getting into this kind of thing, I mean, we've heard a combine obviously be more expensive than a lot of the pieces of equipment we've talked about so far, but is it a tough sell to get people to try to borrow the money to go get this kind of equipment?
Yes. So with the greenest industry, I guess with farming too, it's very seasonal. Mm-hmm. Your ROI is very much reduced because the utilization is much narrower as well. So it is more difficult to actually convince a grower, say, to use a piece of automation or a solution because of that. The ROI is just not always there.
So what do you tell the skeptical ones about why this can save their lives?
I think a lot of them are, I do see the potential. Also with having more and more technology out there, we can show different installations we've done. We have good references with some of our other customers, and that's really helped a lot. Also, just being in the greenhouse space, like our focus is a greenhouse industry, and that also helps build our credibility with our customers. Like, we know who we're talking to, where the needs are, and just building those relationships, that has helped.
Mary Ruth, I guess I'm wondering if this is sort of a niche idea for the few, or whether you see this catching on with more widespread use. What do you think?
I think it's definitely going to catch on, but of course there will be lag time. But Chuck was talking about some of the autopilot, if you will, for tractors, and that has the value of that's been quite obvious to a lot of growers. And we have growers in the marsh who are really keen on having some of these robots in the field. So, of course, farmers are as diverse as anyone else. You'll have your rapid adopters and some that may never see the value, but labor pressure, labor shortages, herbicide-resistant weeds, robots are going to get cheaper and cheaper. Sorry, Chuck, but and labor is going to get more and more expensive. So I do think it's inevitable.
I guess that's the thing. I mean, we heard, 40, 50 years ago, a lot of the arguments about automation, that you're going to take work away from people who need those jobs. But I guess, and Mary Ruth, you tell me if I'm wrong here, in the case of farming, the labor shortage is kind of profound in some spots, that this isn't really taking away people's jobs. It's really helping farmers do their jobs. Is that fair to say?
For sure. The horticultural industry brings in a lot of temporary workers from Mexico and the Caribbean each year. For two or three decades, there haven't been enough people in Ontario to fill those jobs. And the temporary workers are going to get more and more expensive all the time as well.
Chuck, how many robots have you bought and modified?
So starting like last season, we had 18 different robots that we had either purchased or modified or deployed out across Ontario. And this year, we're on track to be at 30.
Doing all various jobs along the way, like what?
So the bigger robots spread fertilizer. The farm droids are seeding onions and carrots. We have one that's actually working in some flowers as well. The other robots are all primarily in weed control, so in just different forms of cultivation.
How'd you afford to buy all this stuff?
So we had some help from a startup venture capital group. We didn't take any venture capital. We had some consulting help from a group called RH Ventures out of London, which assisted us. I used some of my own capital. So I invested my own money into acquiring some of these machines. And then we've also had assistance from just standard financial institutions to help us finance this. The last piece is that we were able to acquire a couple of grants, from the provincial government, which were very beneficial to help us get started.
Do we need to see more of that? What's your view on that?
It definitely has been very helpful with, right now there's the Agri-Fund going on that.
Agri-Tech Innovation.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, a door opener, because it's not always easy to justify spending that much money on a piece of automation. And with the programs going on now, it's like up to $100,000 that you get 50% cost share. So that makes it very advantageous.
Indeed.
To actually
invest. I assume you're into this for seven figures at this stage, eh?
Easily. And what the funding does is for some of the robots that are somewhat commercial, the funding is maybe not as important. But when we are bringing something that is novel to the marketplace, that might only be the first one or the second one or whatever, farmers are a little risky, because it's not actually the technology that they're worried about. It's the fact that they have to change their farming operation a little bit in order to use that technology. And that's actually what the risk is.
Here's another shot. Can we bring this up, Sheldon? I'm on number 10 here. And I don't know how to pronounce this thing, Chuck, so you're going to have to help me. NAIO. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce
that's
that?
That's the NIO-Oz.
The NIO-Oz for weeding and hoeing.
That's correct.
Now, why is it called a NIO-Oz?
So NIO Technologies is a company out of France. They're probably one of the leaders in autonomous robotics for agriculture. They've been kind of at it. They're one of the longest that have been at it, at least 10 years. That Oz robot is probably one of the most popular robots around the world. There's well over 300 of them that have been deployed.
And it's Oz, O-Z.
O-Z, just Oz. And they call it that, so it sounds friendly.
Not from Australia or anything
nope.
like that. Okay, so. Got it. Now, Mary Ruth, I got to ask this question. I'm sorry, but I imagine one of the fears that farmers have is what happens when these things break down? I mean, they don't know how to fix them. So have you found that to be a problem?
Occasionally they do break down, as any equipment does. We've had really good communication with, say, the people at NIO. And sometimes we're talking to people and it's the middle of the night in Europe, or, you know, conversely, they want to do something, it's 9 p.m. here, but they've been communicating with us very well. Once in a while, it takes time to get a part, but that happens for tractors in Ontario as well.
Sure.
So as long as you've got internet and cell phones, it's been working reasonably well.
Bill, I assume this is not equipment that farmers know how to fix themselves.
We do like to get the farmers up to speed on the technology we provide. Because we're located in the heart of the greenhouse industry in Niagara there, because we're close by, we can easily support them because we develop technology so we know it inside and out. But also we want to equip our end users to be able to run the machines and do some minor tweaks or modifications if needed. And then if it's something more major, then we're within 30 minutes to support them.
So. Do you know if there are any colleges in Ontario right now that either have courses in how to make these machines or fix these machines or that kind of thing?
I think just in general, like engineering schools, like that's the foundation, right? And then from there you grow. So there's a lot, with automation, you can automate anything. So, I mean, to be more specific to the agriculture, I think it's just kind of like the channel you go to.
Because, Chuck, I'm wondering about that. You know, obviously we have, for example, at Ontario Tech, it's very much involved in the auto industry.
Yep.
And in graduating young people who know how to deal in that business.
Yep.
Is that going to happen with this as well?
Oh, 100%. And there are several schools that have reached out to us wanting to be in this agricultural robotic space in some form, whether it's in the greenhouse sector. And it's not just crops. There's lots of robotics in the livestock sector as well. And so I know that Fanshawe College has reached out, Lambton College, Niagara College, the University of Windsor, University of Guelph, Western, Waterloo. A lot of these schools, and I apologize for any that I haven't mentioned, but a lot of these schools have reached out to us. They want to partner on projects. And I think a lot of this relates to educating the workforce of the future. And it's not just going to be cars and trucks. If we can have a manufacturing sector on agricultural robotics as well, why not?
You've been involved in the creation and alteration of numerous different kinds of robotics here, right, for farming?
Yep.
Do you have one that you're particularly in love with and why?
I would say that they all have their pluses and minuses. I really do like the FarmDroid, the one from Denmark that Mary Ruth had talked about, just because of how nicely built it is. It was built by two brothers that founded the company. I've met them both. It's a very, very well-built machine. But the reason why I like that one is that they thought about the logistics of that machine, the solar panel, how it operates, and how the farmer is actually going to have to interact with that. They really thought that through. And that's why I like that.
Mary Ruth, how about you? Is there one piece of technology that you particularly enjoy?
Well, I have to go with the farm droid also, but Chuck did mention the Oz, and there's sort of the big brother of the Oz called the Oreo, and it's got kind of eyebrows and eyes painted on it, again, to make it look friendly. But the farm droid, the solar panel is great. The battery charges while it's working and it's in the sun. So it's, for us, it's worked 24 hours a day. It's easy to operate from your cell phone or iPad. It's small, it's light, so it contributes to sustainable agriculture, and of course, being solar reduces greenhouse gas emissions. So it's just got so many things going for it.
Gotcha. Bill, how about you?
Well, it depends. So we've done a number of like robotic applications, which, I mean, the robots have a whole different appeal and attraction. Just really cool having a six-axis arm moving around and doing different functions. We have a few cells. So we got one, it's a potted plant packaging cell. So it will take the potted plant, put it into a pot cover or a Mylar cover, and then put a label, a preprint or a print on demand label, and then put it into a sleeve. So it does that automatically. So you get a raw plant coming in and get a finished plant ready to be in the box coming out of there. That has a lot of different things going on there. And that was one of our first products that we developed. So that has a lot of sentimental meaning to us. But there's also a lot of simpler applications where even just labeling. So we've developed, it's called a pot cover labeling machine. And historically, they've done it all by hand. They take the pot covers out of the box. So it's just a cover that goes around the plant that you'll see in the store, like a little paper cover. And so they'll just take the whole stack, take it out, put a label on, millions of them a year. And it's just a very repetitive task. And that was something that we identified earlier on. Said, oh, look, it's a very easy task. I mean, pot covers, they can be tricky to handle depending on the material. But the actual function of that is very repetitive. It's just like, take it out, label one. And so we that's something that's made a really big impact on the growers and just have good traction.
The names here, Chuck, are a little funky. But I guess you can't use C-3PO or R2-D2. That's copyright.
No, and you don't want to use Terminator either.
No, good point. Good point. No, you're growing, not terminating.
Yep.
I want to thank the three of you for coming on to TVO tonight and talking to us about something that I suspect very few people know is going on out there. So we thank you for that. There's our three shot from left to right. Bill Vandenhoever. And there's Chuck Bersich and Mary Ruth McDonald. Thanks a lot, you three.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Agenda with Steve Pakin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.